I may be a bit introspective, shy, it's true. It's also true I went to law school, where I learned the hard way that I would make the world's worst litigator. My one and only oral argument, all I wanted to do was sit down and ask the judges to find for the other party. Being awful was exhausting, and it ruled out a lot of legal jobs for me. At the same time, it helped me find the perfect job. I could quietly use my legal training to support others. The only downside was my perfect job was in D.C., and I lived in Baltimore. I wasn't worried, though. Live Baltimore was running a campaign promoting living in Baltimore and working in D.C., and posters were everywhere. I would buy Mark Twain monthly passes and Smart Trip card and become a D.C. commuter. So I became a D.C. commuter who spent 4 hours a day in transit. I rolled with it. I loved my job and my colleagues. And it was kind of fun, actually, racing around to get to my perfect job and then racing home to get to my perfect classes at the Y. But this is a show about commuter chaos, so as you may have guessed, the fun started to wear off after a while. At first, finding free street parking near Penn Station was a breeze. It got harder as parking restrictions changed and more people found my great parking spots. So I had to start parking farther and farther away, and I didn't always plan for it. So I started wearing my running shoes, not for comfort, but for sprinting. Waiting for the next train was not an option for me. I was going to make my train, even if it meant running out in front of cars on St. Paul Street, and it did. I'm really more of a distance runner, but on those mornings, I was a sprinter. I even switched to a backpack for less resistance and better balance. I would race across the concourse, fling myself down the steps, onto the platform, onto the train. Kind of an embarrassing way to start the day, but making the train at the last second felt great. Except and until the train broke down, which was pretty often in summer. When the train breaks down between stations, you just sit. It can be hours. One day it took me 5 hours to get to work. From that day on, I started carrying snacks. When they can't fix the train, all the passengers on your packed train have to transfer to another packed train for the ride to D.C. It's like the greatest worst clown car gag on earth. Oh, sorry, I just lost my... I won't say there's a causal relationship, but I was always wearing a skirt when I had to transfer from my broken train to a working train. And with conductors holding both your hands, there's more than a decent chance of flashing your underwear to two full trains. There were breakdowns. There was also illness. MARC trains have plenty of windows, but they don't open to let in fresh air. And N95 masks were still a global pandemic away, so hundreds of us sat there swapping germs the entire train ride. I was sick all the time. I even had summer colds. My friends called me Typhoid Mary. Seriously. whatever I had either never went away or morphed into some new illness before I got better. My state of being was being sick for 7 years. Oddly enough, this didn't stop strange men from approaching me on the train. Perhaps they were aware of my snacks or had misinterpreted a flash of underwear. I really don't know, but I called them my train friends. There was a chatty and, yes, jolly Santa lookalike. There was a middle-aged married man who talked about divorce on repeat. And there was a young guy who parked near me, and he got a real kick out of how I could never see him standing there because I wasn't wearing my glasses, or so I said. I kept myself on the train. I read the paper, did the crossword, consumed 400-page books on topics I thought would scare people away. I even put my bag on the seat next to me against train norms. My train friends failed to pick up on my please leave me alone signals, so I sat in different cars. I replaced my bright green backpack with a gray one to blend. When they asked me to lunch or dinner, I told them, I don't eat lunch or dinner. I really never found a good way to unfriend my train friends. But all of this is part of commuting, right? But there's one day, one commute that stands out from all the others. I was getting on at an outdoor stop because I had plans near there after work. I didn't know where the parking lot was, and I'll admit I was pushing it on time. So I'm looking for a parking space when I see the train coming. I shut off the car, grab my bag, and I sprint toward the platform. Thankfully, I'm wearing my running shoes, so I have good traction on the pavement. I look up. The train is stopped. The doors are open, but I'm still in the parking lot. If anyone's taken the MARC train, the parking lots are enormous. So I'm still in the parking lot. I see one of my regular conductors standing at the open door closest to me. He sees me running and waves me on. I keep running. I reach the platform, but the train is moving. My conductor is still standing in the open door, and I pause because the train is moving, but he motions to me to keep going. Now, this conductor is nearing retirement and only about my size, but he looks confident. And with the only thought in my head being, oh my God, I'm really doing this, I jump towards the open door, and midair, he wraps his arm around my waist, and I'm aboard the train. Yes, I jumped onto a moving train to get to work one day. My heart was pounding. I couldn't talk at all. I don't know if I was having a panic attack or if I was in shock or both. And I didn't have a ticket. I had to buy a ticket from the conductor who had just encouraged me to jump onto a moving train. Ordinarily, I would have said, good morning, I need to buy a ticket. I just held money and hoped he would figure it out. My heart raced all the way to D.C. Hours passed before I could talk. But I'd made my train. Today, many years later, I work from home. I fear the thrill of the commute may be over for me. But there were some bonuses to all that commuting. I suspect my immune system is a lot stronger now, thanks to my typhoid Mary days. I can't even remember the last time I had a cold. And I'm now slightly better about leaving on time. My only regret is that I never properly thanked that conductor who risked my life and his to help me get to work on time that day. I definitely don't miss spending 20 hours a week commuting, but part of me misses the excitement, the commuter chaos. And the funniest part, looking back, is that I don't think my boss would have cared at all that I was late for work. All of my get-to-work-on-time stunts were because I wanted to get to work on time, not because of any real consequences. I really did love that job. It was the perfect job for a daredevil introvert like me. Thank you.